Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, but we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, please feel free to contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. As the announcer stated, the East Abbotville Church of Christ will be assembling this morning at 9:30 for Bible study and then for a period of worship, and also this evening at 5 and Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. We urge you to come and be with us, but if it's at all impossible for you to do so, log on to eastabbotville.org at those times, and you can both see and hear either the Bible classes or the worship period. Also, keep in mind that tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, Bible Crossfire. Pat Donahue has a program that alive, you can call in your Bible question, speak directly to him, and expect a Bible answer. That's tonight at 8 o'clock on WBSA, but if you're unable to pick up the station at that time and have satellite radio capability, tune to Sirius XM Channel 131. Please keep these things in mind. In Genesis 1, verse 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." We see that God made man in his own image. And we know that that image does not mean the body that you and I have. We're told in John 4, in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, God is a spirit, and Jesus explained exactly what that was when, after he had resurrected from the dead, he appeared to the apostles, and in Luke chapter 24, he makes this statement to them in verse 39, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have." So if God is a spirit, and Jesus says that a spirit has not flesh and bones, then we can understand that when God made man in his own image, that certainly that was not referring to the physical body. But rather it has to do with immortality. It has to do with something that is eternal, because that's what God is. God is immortal. God is eternal. And so that is what we have within us that God has given us that's made us in his image. We have an immortal, we have an eternal soul. Another thing that goes along with all this is the fact that God has gave mankind the freedom of choice. We are free moral agents. We are free to exercise our own will. It's in Joshua 24 in verse 15. "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's in 1 Kings that we read in chapter 18 and verse 21 that Elijah came to all of the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." So Elijah is putting forth to the children of Israel, that which mankind has been endowed with the ability, and that is to choose. But you know, with this freedom of choice, we must also realize that choices have their consequences. In Genesis 2, in verse 15 beginning, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." And we see in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, the statement is made, "I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." You see, from the very first man, God gave man a choice. With Adam and Eve, it was to choose to do what God commanded, or to choose to violate what God commanded. And of course, we know the story. Even with the children of Israel, too, God said, "I've set before you death, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose." They could choose life, or they could choose death. They could choose a blessing, or they could choose a cursing. It was their choice. So our life ultimately requires a choice between only two options: God and the things of God, or man and the things of man. To help us see this, we want to concern ourselves with the passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You see, we have two choices in all of the things that Jesus said in these verses. We have the choice of two gates. We have the choice of two ways. We have the choice of being a part of two groups. And we have the choice of one of two destinies. Jesus offers only two choices in each of these. He offers the choice of a straight gate or a wide gate. When we look at this word definition of straight, and this is as we read it from the King James Version, the word straight is not spelled in the same way that we spell the word straight to indicate, for instance, a straight line. But it's S-T-R-A-I-T, and we use that word in our English language, but not on a very regular basis. The word straight that Jesus uses here in Matthew 7 is a word that, according to W.E. Vine, which means narrow, restricted. It's rigorous. It's strict. It's tight. It's difficult. And it's from a Greek word, and that Greek word means to groan. So it is then. Like I said, we use this word, but we don't use it very often. If you look on a map, or if you look at a world map, you'll see that on some places on our planet, there are what's called straits, like the Strait of Magellan, that's off the southern tip of the South America. But these were places where that you could sail through on water, but they were very narrow. They were very restricted. It was altogether different than the open seas. So yes, we still have the word straight around in our language today, but you and I hardly ever use it. But the word straight here means what we've said: narrow, restricted, rigorous, tight, or difficult. Now, in regards to that straight gate, we can't enter the straight gate carrying a burden of sin. In Revelation 21, notice we read beginning with verse 25. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no light there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. 2, Jesus said in Matthew the 11th chapter, notice we begin reading in verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Friends, this straight gate that Jesus says that we have a choice, we must, as the word indicates, agonize to enter through that straight gate. In fact, in Luke 13, verse 24, it says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. This is Luke's parallel account to what we've read in Matthew 7. But Luke says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, but shall not be able. So this word strive means to endeavor with strenuous zeal. And we must agonize, because in Matthew 5, verses 3 and 4, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We need to recognize, we must recognize, our spiritual poverty. We must recognize our total spiritual bankruptcy. We must not be touched. Well, let me restate that. We must be touched to the point of grief by our concern over the lost fellowship that we have with God because of sin. So we must put aside the old man of sin in order to enter that straight gate. In Galatians 5 and verse 4, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And in Colossians 3 and verse 5, therefore put to death your members that are upon the earth. And it talks about those things. Could Paul have used any stronger language? You know, in Matthew 16 and verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. So then, another passage is Matthew 16, verse 24. We see then that in all of these things, we read verses 24 and 25. Let's now look at verse 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So we see then that truly, we need and we must lay aside the things of this world in order for us to be able to make that choice of entering in to that straight gate that Jesus talks about. It's in Acts chapter 17 that we read these words in verse 30. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. In 1 Corinthians 6, it's in verse 9 that we begin reading, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Jesus said in Luke 18, beginning with verse 18, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother.' And he said, 'All these things I've kept from my youth.' So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.' But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich." You see, the rich young ruler could not go through that straight gate. Those that were mentioned in 1 Corinthians 6 could not go through that straight gate, but a very simple fact of the matter, that those that did those things would not inherit the kingdom of God. And in Matthew 5, Jesus said in verse 29, "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." So we cannot enter that gate with sin. So that's the reason that helps us to see why Jesus calls it a straight gate, meaning that it is a gate that is narrow, it's restricted, it's rigorous, it's tight, it's difficult. Then also, is it any wonder then that Jesus said concerning this straight gate that few there be that find it? You see, the wide gate, which is that utter choice that we have, is a whole different story. The wide gate will allow us to enter with a full cargo of sin. That wide gate doesn't require us to make even one change whatsoever in our lives. And so then, many there be which go in thereat. See, is it any wonder then that Jesus made that statement concerning the wide gate? Many there be which go in thereat. So we must make a choice between the two gates. Which gate have you chosen? The straight gate or the wide gate? But also consider in the statement that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Again, Jesus offers only two choices when it comes to the way. One is a narrow way, the other is a broad way. The definition of way is just simply a path. Sometimes we think of it better as a road. In fact, Henry Thayer, in his lexicon, says that it's a traveled way, a road, a journey. Metamorphically, it denotes a course of conduct, that is, a manner of thinking, feeling, or deciding. So, we must choose a way to travel through life. A choice of the way is, let's understand, going to be determined by the choice of the gates through which we passed. If we pass through the wide gate, we travel the broad way. If we pass through the straight gate, we travel the narrow way. So then, it's not possible for us to go through the wide gate and yet travel the narrow way, any more than it's possible for us to go through the straight gate and travel the broad way. So the gates and the way go hand in hand. So it all begins with the gate that we choose. The gate that we choose determines the path, the way that we travel. Sad to say, as Jesus said, most will choose to travel the broad way. Jesus said, many there be which go in thereat. Why is that? It's because the broad way has a wide gate. There's no real effort required to enter through the wide gate or, for that matter, to travel on the broad way. No care or concern is required to enter through the wide gate or to travel the broad way. You can even call yourself a Christian if you're traveling on the broad way. Certainly, that's the case with so many. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So we see then that it is a highway that's spacious enough to accommodate our sins. It can be traveled without repentance or with only as much repentance as we care to give. It's a path of least resistance. It's sort of, we have that word now today, default. Well, that wide gate and broad way is sort of a default in a lot of respects. It's the path allowing us to practice our self-indulgences, to practice selfishness. Kind of like, being a road hog on the highway. We can do that in our lives. Just live any way that we want to live. Do whatever we want to do. It's a highway where one only has to obey the laws that they want to obey and only make the sacrifices that they want to make. But notice what Jesus says. It leads to destruction. And that's a fact that its popularity does nothing to alter. Doesn't matter how many people are on this way. It doesn't make it right. Jesus said, few there be that find it when it comes to the narrow way. Why? Because the narrow way had that straight gate to start with that we talked about just a moment ago. Again, great effort is going to be required to enter in through the straight gate and to travel on that narrow way. The Philippians 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Acts 14 and verse 22. Strengthen the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. See, this narrow way that has that straight gate, it takes extreme care and concern to enter through the gate and to travel on that narrow way. And yet, Jesus says, of it, few there be that find it. Why? Because the narrow way has a straight gate. So it is then that few there be that find it is that it's not the path of least resistance. It's not the path of self-indulgence. In Romans 8 and verse 13, it says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. In Colossians 3 and verse 5, therefore put to death your members that are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Galatians 5 verse 24, that those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Matthew 5, verse 29, if your right eye offends you, causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. So then, it is a highway where we must obey the laws of God, and we must make every sacrifice that's required of us. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a whole lot to do, isn't it? But that narrow way, what did Jesus say? It leadeth unto life. All life concentrates on man at the crossroads. You know, most believe that all lifestyles are equally good and ultimately lead to the same destination. Friends, that's not so. We're on different roads, traveling to different places, not on different roads traveling to the same place, because that's not what Jesus is teaching here in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. It depends on the road that we're traveling. It depends on the way that we're traveling as to where we end up. And so these two ways, Jesus says there's only two roads in life, and they lead drastically different destinations. The wide gate, the broad way, it leads to destruction. The straight gate, the narrow way, leads unto life. And so, which way is it that you have chosen? But also Jesus says that you'll either be among those that are few, or you'll be in the group of which there are many. So the group that we choose is determined by the gate that we enter and the way that we follow. The many have taken the path of least resistance because of the ease, the popularity. But we find that is the way that leads to destruction. The few have entered the straight gate, and they're following the narrow way. Why? Because of its reward. It leads unto life. And so then, we need to count the cost. We need to consider which way is really and truly the bargain. Have we considered where our choices will ultimately take us? Will it lead us unto life, or will it lead us unto damnation? The choice is ours. Friends, in just 30 minutes from now, we'll be meeting at the East Albertville Church of Christ at 4777 U.S. Highway 431. We urge you to keep this time at 9:30 Sunday morning and again this evening at 5 in mind, and come and give consideration to being with us and observe the things that we say and do. That's all we ask of you to come, is to see and compare what we preach and what we practice with what God's Word teaches. We thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's under then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And we now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.